So I've been singing that song for the better part of my life. How about you? It's nice to see us singing it from memory. And I'll tell you, the word that caught my attention from that hymn this morning, this day, 58 years into my life, was the joy we have when we tarry there. Are you hanging out with Jesus? Like, do you just like, I'm with Jesus. Why should I be anywhere else? I think that's just stunning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time where we're going to focus on your word, and I pray that the power of your word would just melt away the stuff that we're holding on to, that you would be able to move through the power of your Holy Spirit and our spirit to recreate in us those you created us to be, that we would have an unquenchable desire to be with you. Always. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. So as you're finding 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in the New Testament, I want to look at this because last week we saw that we were called out of the world and into what God wants to have as an intimate relationship with us, that we might tarry with him all the days of our lives. So if you're there, I'm going to read from verse 1 down to 9. The apostle, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So at verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 1, I always thank my God for you because his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God, thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you from firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So verse 1 shows us that Paul knew who he was. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. He knows who he is, and he knows why he's here, to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, a spokesman, equipped with God-inspired authority. He doesn't stand on his own. He says what his God says. He also knows how he got to this point in his life, by the will of God. God has a will, a plan, and a purpose for our lives, and Paul is coming to this understanding. Now, I believe that God wants every one of his children to have the same kind of firm foundation and clear understanding of who we are in Christ. Our lives take on new meaning when we let the Bible define who we are instead of allowing the world determine who we are by our social standings. To know where you've come from and where you stand now and where you're headed or heading in relation to God will make you free to be who you were created to be. I seem to have been created to be a minister of the gospel. I don't know why. I don't remember the day. That is so cool. She has the day sealed. Happy birthday, Lori. Tomorrow, happy birthday in advance. She's been called of God. Paul is looking at the past to define where these Christians come from. And as Christians, where they stand right now by their present experience, and he looks to the future for what he is sure they will have. Are you sure when you look to the future where you will stand? I am. And if you have a question, like, what's he talking about? Talk to me after the service. I got to leave you hanging. So you click to whatever, submit. I've been watching YouTube now, and it's like, hey, like me, so the bell will alarm. So anyway, looking to the past as well as the future will build a stronger foundation and give a clearer understanding of who we are in Christ. So look at verse 2, because it sheds light as to what happened in the past to make you a follower of Christ. We read, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Did you know the three things that happened there? They were sanctified. They were called, and they called in response to God. Those three things took place. We tend to think of sanctification as a lifelong process of becoming more and more holy, more and more like God. In Romans 6, verse 19, Paul explains, this is Paul speaking, I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and masters because it's easy to understand. Just as you used to be slaves to all kinds of sin, so now you must let yourselves be slaves to all that is right and holy. There's a turning point, a shift. 1 Peter 2:15 tells us it is God's will that your good lives should silence those who foolishly condemn the gospel without knowing what it can do for them, having never experienced its power. You're free from the law, but that does not mean you're free to do what is wrong. Live as those who are free to do only God's will at all times. So let's flip back to 1 Corinthians verse 2 in chapter 1. It speaks of a turning point that has already happened in the past. We read, to the church of God, to those sanctified, to those who have been, not are being sanctified in Christ Jesus. What this verse teaches that underlying the lifelong process of the old way of unbelief and sin, we come to a turning point. We take a new way of thinking, which brings about faith and obedience. There's a shift. I was, now I am. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, and I'll paraphrase. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he lists examples of the unrighteous: adulterers, thieves, homosexuals, drunkards, greedy, the list goes on. And then in verse 11, he says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Here, too, we see that sanctification is something that happened in the past. There's been some definitive turning point, and it has to do with an experience. Has something happened in your life? I won't get into it, but I would love to hear the testimony that actually I hope we all have. Paul says, you were a drunkard. And I say, then there was a turning point. There was a time when yours truly was not as wonderful as I am today. There was a turning point. You were greedy for money, but then a turning point. You see, the change of the old style, lifestyle, have been broken. You were set apart for God. You were sanctified, according to the Bible. This is part of the process of becoming holy. But how can sanctification be both a decisive break and an ongoing process of being holy? We marvel, I can't believe how God works. At some point, it's not a question I have or some people have, it's the question. God calls us to be holy people, and we call on Him for help and salvation. We read in verse 2, listen, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy people. That's what God does. Together with all those in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do. So the question is, have you done it? Have you called on the name of the Lord? Do you have that relationship with Him? Are you tarrying to be in His presence? There's a definitive call to holiness that God gives and a definitive response that we give to Him. A true follower of Christ has been set apart through these two truths. Ready? Write these down. God has brought us into fellowship with Jesus. That's what He does. And two, we have responded by calling on Christ for His help and guidance to get through this thing we call life. I do that moment by moment every day because life is hard. It's not easy, and it doesn't get easier when you follow Christ. Generally, not always, it gets harder. Why? Because there's a invisible battle that someone doesn't want us to even come close to Jesus. So all hell breaks loose. When we respond to this call, we give to Him the things that we had been slave to, the masters that have kept us bound, we let go of. And we allow Jesus to free us. Have you done that? Or are you walking around bound? I want to be free. Free indeed, I think is what God says. When we say sanctified, we mean that God has called us out of the darkness. And darkness represents sin. And how great is that darkness? Isn't that what you just said? And how great is that light? Jesus. Darkness is sin, light is Jesus Christ, when you read that in the Bible. So when we respond to His call, we turned from what we had been trusting in. And at that moment forward, we begin to call on Jesus for His help. His guidance as we go through life. Is that your first call or your last response? When everything just falls apart, then I call on Jesus, right? Why would that not be, God, this doesn't look good. I need your help. And he'll be there. This is the event that the Bible refers to as, listen, being born again. Is that you? Yeah. It also calls us being saved. Is that you? Or coming to salvation. Or being converted. Or becoming a new creature. Are these all sentences that make sense to you? Receiving Jesus is the key point. We must receive His gift. We must receive, if you were here last week, His invitation. He slides a cup before you and you say yes or you say no. But He's the one that prompts us. We're the one that responds. This is the biblical basis where we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. When somebody says, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? What we're saying is, have you experienced 1 Corinthians 1:9? Has God called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord? That's a conversation nobody wants to open at home, in the office, at Wawa. Why? Because it's a complicated question. Do you know Jesus? Is your Savior and Lord? So here's a little litmus test. Do you spend time in fellowship with Jesus? Do you tarry with him daily? Are your lives together so intimate that you receive from him his love, forgiveness, grace, power, authority, joy? At the same time, from you, does he receive your love, your faithfulness, your prayer, your obedience to him daily? If so, you've been called. To help us understand this, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1. A little further in, verses 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 and 24 says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jew and folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. What we learn from these verses is that God's call is not merely preaching the gospel. Paul says that there are many Jews and Gentiles alike who have heard his message but are not called. This is very true in the church worldwide. People sitting there lost as a rock. Paul says, so he, and I liken myself to Paul, makes a call to come to Christ. He has to give that call. But unless God calls him, unless God calls you, preaching is in vain. We need to understand God's call is something more than man's invitation to respond to Jesus. What Paul is saying is when God calls, we're no longer blind to the meaning of the cross. We receive it as wisdom from God. We stop regarding it as foolishness and embrace it as the power and the wisdom of God being applied to our life. We need to recognize that the call of God is a call that brings about change in the heart, the core of your being. I was, I no longer am. Do you have that turning point? It doesn't merely invite like the man, like the call of man. God's call transforms. It makes people new. If you're there in 1 Corinthians 1, drop down to verses 26 and 7. For consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. When I look back on my life and I say, what happened to me to make me a follower of Christ? Was that God called me. And I responded. But what I mean is not that he merely invited me into fellowship with his son, or that he simply offered me fellowship with his son. Here, come on, you can hang out with me. But that he pursued me when I wanted nothing to do with his son. There was a day when I was just doing church to be with my friends, to go hang out together, because that's what we do. But then, it was God that opened my eyes to see the power of the cross. Nothing we do except respond. It was at that point that I called on his name and was saved. And now I commit to live life in submission to him. I should add, to the best of my ability. For those who take the things of God seriously, one of the most practical issues that we face is how can we be sure that the faith that we have today will be with us in the future? This is exciting. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 shed some light. Brothers, and when I see that word, I just put James in there, or you could put your name there. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if. I love that little word because that's an invitation. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. This is God's word. I'm not making this up. You can read it for yourself. And not just here, it's throughout a lot of the gospel. Colossians 1, 3:23 says that we will be presented blameless before Christ, invitation, if we continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. Without perseverance, we will not be saved on the day of Christ, according to God's word. Mark 13:13 says, all those who endured to the end will be saved. But we need to press in and press on when life is hard. We find the assurance of God's commitment to keep believing back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 8. That would be the page turn. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The assurance of a believer is not that God will save us even if we fall away. Get this. But that God will keep us believing. Believing in him. He's the sustainer of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. He'll make your hope firm and stable to the end. I just met a man at the end of his life. And I'm under the impression that he accepted Christ. So he's present with his Lord. But I have interned people that are not quite with that hope. This is the God's honest truth. And we need to come to that point in life because we have a strong desire to be the church that God will use, yes? And that begins with you and me being with him. Do you see the connection between the call of God and the faithfulness of God? If God has called you, then his faithfulness is to keep you. That is, keep persevering in the faith. He's the one that draws me to open my Bible every morning. He's the one that prompts me to pray with him intimately in the morning before my day gets started. Otherwise, I would just wander down the street and say, I'll get to it tomorrow. But he prompts me. He's pursuing me. And I'm yielding to him. And I recognize immediately, the longer I go in my faith walk, that I missed his prompting. Like, you hear that voice? And you go, yeah, well. And then the next day you go, you know, I should have. Does that happen to you or is it just me? So there is this line of communication that is an ongoing, growing, intimate relationship that we have access to through the power of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, May the God of peace himself make you entirely pure and devoted to God. And may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept strong and blameless until that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. God, who called you to become his child, will do all this for you just as he promised. Can God not do what he promised? God cannot lie. He promised to call you. And he has, I hope. And now you make the response. And hopefully you promise that from this day forward, Lord, I will commit my life, my living, to you. That was the invitation last week. That's the invitation this week. The reason he is committed to keeping us in faith is because it's his call and it's his choice. He chooses to call us. He wants to be with us. Isn't that what you just said this morning? We find joy being with him and he finds joy in being with us. It's called a relationship. Not a religion. Romans 8:30 tells us those whom he predestined, he called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 tells us even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family. By bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Our salvation is nothing we do but respond to his call. You've been called out of the world, out of the darkness, to the marvelous light, I think. You need to know who you are, and I'm urging you to see yourself in relation to God. When you look back through your life, do you see yourself as called of God? When you look forward, do you see yourself as kept by God? Because if you don't, it's really hard to take that step. Like if I knew what tomorrow held, I wouldn't go. Right? Like, I have a test tomorrow. I don't want to go to school. Mom, I'm sick. Man, we come up with the good ones. And that's why we don't know what tomorrow holds. We walk by faith, not by sight, yes? What took place to make you a follower of Christ is the call of God. There is no other way. What will keep you following Christ is the faithfulness of God. He cannot lie. He is faithful to the very end. You need to know who you are. You're called of God and you're kept by God. Simple. The freedom of God and the calling of sinners to repentance is intended to give us hope. And what I mean by that is you can't be bad enough. Your heart can't be hard enough. God is pursuing you. And my hope is that he is persuading you to respond to him right now. Because that's how God works. What is or who is holding you back from responding to this call? Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 2. To all those in every place who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes you this morning. Romans 10:13 is abundantly clear. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We'll have power and authority to make it through this thing we call life. When COVID strikes, when death strikes, we have strength to carry on. You have to understand that when you call, you have been called. The question still stands. Will you commit your life to Jesus from this day forward? That's the question. What will you do with Jesus? And then, what will he do with us? We want to see this place filled, right? Not because we like lots of people, because that's what we're called to do. Make little Christ. He came to save. How does he save? He chooses to use you and me to make a difference in the world. To make a difference in eternity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And pray that through these many words, you have been able to make your way to shedding some light. That you do want an intimate personal relationship, a marriage with each one of your children. And God, I pray that you would prompt us now to respond, to say, yes, I will serve only you, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.